God has given them, and He has given them some, and I'm glad they're using it for the Lord. That's a blessing in my heart. I want you to go in your Bibles, the book of Hebrews, and we'll go to chapter 11 tonight. I do beg for your attention this evening, and you might want to buckle your seatbelt. I want to preach this message the Lord's laid on my heart for this service tonight. And I'm anticipating the Lord helping us tonight. I know this thought has helped me this week. It's made me want to live better for God. It's made me want to do better, be better, act better, talk better. It's made me realize that God is aware. Made me realize all over again, God is aware of my life. God's watching me, and God's watching you. This evening, whatever you do, you may think, well, nobody knows. The preacher don't know. The preacher ain't heard. The church said, folk that I go to church with, they are not aware of what I'm living in or what I'm involved in. But I want to remind you tonight, there is a God in glory that knows everything about you and everything about me this evening. And, boy, I want to be able to stand before the Lord without any shame on my part. And I want to be able to stand before the Lord without any shame on His part. And I think you'll understand what I'm preaching as we read these verses tonight. Stand with me. For sake of time, I've got a lot to give to you. We'll be preaching tonight from verse 1 down through verse 16. Let's pick up our reading tonight in verse number 13. I need you to pray for my voice. And, Brother Mark, I'm seeing a lot of people fanning, and, I know they probably complain coming in that it's cold, and so you cut it off, and now they're fanning, and they're hot. So if you could take care of that, amen, He'll fix you up, okay? Don't get mad at Brother Mark if you think it's too cold. I promise you somebody else thinks it's too hot. And if you think it's too hot, somebody else in the building's done come to him and said it's too cold in here. And so don't take it out on Brother Mark, all right? Amen. I think he'll probably appreciate me saying that. Amen. Stay off Brother Mark. Amen. He's our friend. And if you think you can do better, we'll give you the key. And we'll let everybody yell at you. Amen. Mark said he'd gladly give it up to you here in the springtime, okay? All right. Hebrews 11. You ready for preaching? Amen. A few of us are. Let's look in verse 13. The Bible said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16 is where we get our thought from tonight. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I want to preach tonight. If the Lord will help me, I'm going to go ahead and give you my thought. It'll take me a minute, work our way down there. But I feel like Lord had me give it to you. Now, I want to preach on this thought tonight, Brother Dean, on would God be ashamed to be called your God? Would God be ashamed to be called your God? The Bible said about this group that the Apostle Paul is writing about, he said, hey, something stands out about them, said, when God thinks about them, when God thinks about them calling the God of heaven their God, God said, I ain't ashamed of that. Now, I want to ask us tonight and preach on that thought, would God be ashamed to be called your God? You can be seated tonight. We come to Hebrews chapter 11. We understand the context of these verses. We find the Apostle Paul is referring back these verses we've read tonight in the context of verses 1 through verse 12. He's referring back to these, if you will, elders of the faith that are mentioned in these opening verses. He talks about Abel in verse 4 and Enoch in verse 5, Noah in verse 7, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah in verses 8 down through verse number 12. And he's writing, he makes a statement, these all died in faith. And Lord's will, we get to that statement here in a little while, but Paul is mindful as the Holy Spirit impresses upon his heart to write concerning the faith of these that have gone before you and me. They are, if you will, the Old Testament saints of God that had left a legacy and a life behind, that they indeed were the children of God. When I consider this tonight, these men and women of faith have several things testified of them in the verses I've read to you tonight that I think is worth mentioning. We noted in verse 13 through verse 16, really it deals with the country that is pursued by them. The Bible said that had they died in faith, and that in dying in faith they had not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things clearly, things declare plainly that they seek a country. And they were people that lived their lives with in viewpoint and in mindset, and this world was not their home. They lived their lives pursuing a country, according to verse number in verse number 10 about the life of Abraham. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so these elders of the faith, these of the hall of faith, they lived their lives pursuing a country that was far better than the world in which you and I live in today. I noted in the end of verse number 16, not only the country that is pursued by them, but the Bible said that God in the end of verse 16, for he had prepared for them a city. That is, Brother Mark, that God was mindful of them in the lives they lived. And according to the end of Hebrews chapter 11, these that are mentioned here, the world is not worthy of them. This, amen, the lives they live are so elevated above this world, and the lives they live by faith, and the lives they live in walking with God, and literally the world becomes unworthy to even have them on planet earth. And so what does God do? Amen. God has prepared a city for those that have been saved and blood bought and trusted Christ, and those that have given their lives wholly and wholeheartedly to the Lord. I'm glad this world's not my home. Amen. God saved me some next year, be 20 years ago, and God saved my soul and saved my life. And I'm grateful for that tonight. I'm thankful for that this evening. And I'm glad when I got saved, I didn't just get saved from hell. Amen. I got saved from sin, and I got saved and was given the hope that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad he's gone in heaven to prepare a place for me, and not just prepare a place. I said it this morning, and he's also prepared the way. He is the way, and Calvary's the way that he's prepared for those that are in the faith and are saved by the grace of God. And tonight I'm interested in verse 16, and I want you to follow with me. Don't check out on me now. I might say some things some of y'all disagree with, but you're entitled to be wrong, okay? Amen. So just hear me out tonight. The Bible, I think, not only deals with here these elders in the faith, he deals with the country that is pursued by them. He deals with the city that is prepared for them. But what we're interested in tonight is the middle of verse 16, where the Bible said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. I mean, man, you talk about a commendation that is pronounced about them. And when the Apostle Paul is writing, the Holy Spirit is moving him on what words to use and what phrases to put in. It's going to be in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, what I want you to say about these people right here is a commendation that is pronounced by God, that God is not ashamed ashamed to be called their God. And the word ashamed that is used here means to feel shame for something. It deals with and literally means disfigurement or disgrace. In other words, when God thinks about this crowd, the Holy Spirit said that God has no disgrace for these that He's writing about. I'm glad tonight that you can be shamed and you can live a life, amen, where it does not disgrace the name of God. I'm preaching in a generation, I'm afraid many have disgraced the Lord. I'm preaching to a crowd, amen, in my generation and in my society and in my, amen, my era of ministry, if you will, that I believe Brother Dean has brought great disgrace unto the Lord. You say, well, amen, I just believe that God ain't going to be upset and ashamed of me. Well, He says here that God is not ashamed of being called their God. Now, that tells me tonight, and if the Holy Spirit tells us here that He's not ashamed, then it can be possible that there would be others that He would be ashamed of. Come on now, amen, if He's saying about this crowd and the way they live their life, and He's not ashamed, listen what He's not ashamed of, amen, the Bible said He's not ashamed to be called their God. The word called, listen, the word called is interesting. It means to entitle, to invoke for aid, worship, testimony, or decision. Amen, what the Holy Spirit is telling you in that is that when the Lord thinks about, amen, being called the God of Abel, and the God of Enoch, and the God of Noah, and the God of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. And my friend, there's something about being called their God, and God is not, my friend, afraid for, amen, for Him to be called their God. They have invoked Him for aid and worship. They have put their testimony in Him. Amen. They put their testimony in Him, and they have given their worship to Him, and they have made decisions and about their life and are wrapped up in Him. And God said, amen, when men and women go doing that, amen, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Now again, amen, I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit, having said this, is giving you an insight on the fact, amen, that it's possible that God would be ashamed. Amen, man could be ashamed for me to say that He's my God. Now this evening, understand this, there's a twofold application in this thought. Now we're preaching on, would God be ashamed to be called my God? Would God be ashamed to be called your God? The life you live, the way that you go about your day-to-day business, amen, when God looks down and you tell everybody that you're a child of God, that you call Him your God, amen, does God got to get all disfigured about that and have feelings of disgrace because He's being known as your God? And I say He is a good God and He's a great God, and I want to live a life that, my friend, amen, God can look down and say, you know what, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Now there's two applications in this, and the first one is very, amen, beneficial to you and that. Go back, if you will, to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 2. I'm a struggling tonight. I don't know if you're making me struggle, I'm just struggling, but I'm a struggling a little bit this evening, and so I need some help now tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2, notice what the Word of God said. The Bible said, verse number 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. And the context of this chapter, we understand that Lucas said the Lord is writing, Paul is writing about the Lord Jesus being our Savior, and about you and me and our positional relationship to Him. He makes a statement that the one that sanctifies, that's the Lord, and they who are sanctified, they are all of one. That is, we're one in the Lord. And notice what he said. He said, for which because in this positional relationship we have with the Lord, He's the sanctifier, we're sanctified in Him, we're made one in the Lord, we're one with the Lord, we're seated together right now tonight as God's children positionally, amen, we're seated in the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places, and we're grateful for that. And for whence cause? The cause of this positional truth, amen, the Bible said He is not ashamed to call them brethren. And I say, I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. And if you're saved this evening, what this verse is teaching you tonight is that in the perfect righteousness of Christ, Jesus is not ashamed to call you tonight brethren and to be identified with us in worship. The Bible said in verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And so the Lord Jesus positionally joins you and I when we come together in church to worship the Lord, and He helps us, amen, He identifies Himself, amen, identifies us as His brethren, amen, not in the sense of Mormons say that, amen, we're brothers to the Lord, but in the sense that we're in Him, and in the family of God, He's the only begotten of God, and we're those saved, born again children of God, amen, and in that position in the righteousness of the Lord, amen, we are absolutely, amen, entered into a relationship where the Lord is not ashamed of you and I in that position. Am I making sense tonight? Amen. I'm glad that what I am in the Lord, and listen, you'll find a lot of fault in me, and I'll get to that in a moment. You'll find a lot of fault in me, and don't get too high on your horse, all right? I don't mean to sound like Obama tonight, but amen, don't get too high on your horse. Amen. You ain't perfect either. You got faults and failures, but in the Lord, amen, having been sanctified by the sanctifier, those who are sanctified are made one in Him, and there is no shame, the Lord has no shame, amen, in that positional truth. And so there's a positional application. And in our text verse in Hebrews 11, in verse number 16, there is the practical application. This deals with the way we live our lives from day to day, and is what Jesus, I believe, had in mind in the Gospel of Mark and in chapter number 8 and in verse number 38. Listen, this verse, the Bible said, this is the Lord speaking, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And so I believe tonight, when the Bible said that God is not ashamed to be called their God, He's writing not about positional application, but He's writing about the lives they live. He's writing about the way that they live their day-to-day lives. He's writing about decisions they've made. He's writing about choices they've made. He's writing about directions they've taken in life. And God looks down and He sees what they've done. And God said, practically and positionally they're saved, and I'm not ashamed that they're in my family, but practically I see how they've lived their lives, and I'm not ashamed in the world of being known as their God. I say, Jesus said a mouthful when He said, and if you and I would be ashamed, if we would live our lives, amen, being ashamed of Him in this wicked world in which we live. He called it an adulterous and sinful generation. And I remind you, that is where we're living tonight. That is what the world is. They are an adulterous and sinful generation. And what God expects out of His children is that we'd rise up, amen, with no shame from the Lord, and make our mark and make our stand and live our lives every day being unashamed of the fact that He saved us and has called you and I to live a different life. He said, if you're going to be ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation, He said, now listen, amen, you're going to have to choke this down. He said, when the Son of Man comes, He's going to be ashamed of you. He's ready to save people. He's ready to people that positionally He's not ashamed of and will never be ashamed of. And He's ready to them and say it. And if you do not live your life in a certain way in this wicked and adulterous and sinful generation, that when the Lord comes back, He's coming back and He's going to have shame, shame, shame on you. Might as well say amen. You might need to buckle your seatbelt now. Amen. Can I remind you the Lord is coming back. And it does matter how you live. This idea, well, amen. And listen, positionally it's true. Amen. The Lord is not ashamed to be identified with me and me with Him in the family of God. I'm saved. I'm in the righteousness of Christ. And in that, I'm as perfect as the Lord Jesus Himself is. Can I remind you, we've got to stand before the Lord. Amen. He is coming back. Amen. This world is not all there is. And when the Lord comes back, I want to live a life. Amen. And that when He comes, He can say, I'm not ashamed of the way you've lived. Now, what are we saying tonight? What are we preaching this evening? Understand this, that in this passage of Scripture, it's important to bear in mind here that these of Hebrews 11, I'm not saying they were perfect people. Come on now, y'all, I don't know, am I speaking in Japanese tonight? Y'all are staring at like a calf staring at a new gate. Come on now. These are not perfect individuals. They're not individuals that had it all nailed down. In fact, many of them, when they got saved, I mean, God, He tells the whole story. He tells the bad as well as He does the good. And when I read about Abraham, the father of faith, amen, I'm mindful this evening, amen, that Abraham had a lot of issues. And yet God said, I'm not afraid to be called the God of Abraham. Amen. Or Isaac had some issues. And yet God is saying, I'm not ashamed to be called His God. And Jacob, my friend, boy, you talk about somebody, amen, who had some flounders in life. Amen. Jacob had some issues that God had to work out of him. But, amen, God was able to say, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Jacob. I'm not preaching perfection today, but there are certain qualities that God seen beyond their failures. There are, amen, certain things that God was aware of in their life in spite of all their sinfulness and in spite of their ups and downs and ins and outs. Amen, there were some things God seen in them that God was able to say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? I hope you are. I'm beginning to wonder. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know? How do you know even beyond this statement that God is not ashamed to be called their God? Well, 13 times in the Word of God, amen, you'll find this statement, the God of Abraham. 9 times in the Word of God, 9 times out of them 13 times, it is the Lord Himself declaring at Him, listen, not Abraham saying it, but the Lord saying it, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. You know what God's saying there? Amen. Long after they had done passed on the sea, amen, He was saying it, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. Let me give this to you. I'm either going to have to slow down or, amen, I mean, do something different what I'm doing. What's in Exodus chapter number 3? Exodus chapter 3, here's what I found. Let me show you this tonight. And God's not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. In Exodus 3, of course you know, and this is in the opening part of this chapter, this is Moses said, out in the backside of the desert, verse 1, and came to the mountain of God, even the Horeb, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside, see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see it, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, Moses and he said, hear me. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, who said? The Lord said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That ain't what Moses said. That's what God said. And what he's really saying is, when I think about Abraham, I know he had his ups and downs. I know Isaac had his issues. I know Jacob lived in deception. And he had great, great problems in his life. But I'm going on record, Moses, I'm the God of all three of them. He moves forward in this conversation with Moses. And now notice with me in verse number 14, the Bible said, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Talking about sending Moses back into Egypt. He said, here's what you tell them. I am hath sent me unto you. Amen. I'm glad he is. I am. Amen. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 15. And God said moreover unto Moses. Who speaketh? Come on now, who speaketh? God speaketh. Here's what he said. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. What's the Lord saying? He said, I want to go on record again and let you know I'm still not ashamed. I don't care what the world thought about it. I don't care what their family thought about it. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's going to make mention of this again to Moses in chapter number 4 and in verses 1 through 5. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they shall say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and called it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that, watch it now, who's speaking now? The Lord speaking. He said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Paul's writing many thousands of years later and said, writing about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he said, I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost told me to put right here, slap dab in the middle of verse 16, that God still is not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. Now what does all this have to do with you and I? I want you to notice four truths tonight to be observed in our text passage in Hebrews 11. Lord, I wish the Lord to help me tonight. I hope you get some help this evening to notice these truths I observed as I read this statement even this week. And it's hit me like a ton of bricks. Amen. I want God to be able to say in my life, oh, Ledbetter, I'm not ashamed to be called His God. I don't care if the whole world knows I'm His God. The way He lives His life, the way He's going about His day-to-day business and the choices He's making, He ain't perfect and He ain't got it all nailed down. There's some certain qualities about His life, and I'll go on record and say, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Ledbetter. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, would God be ashamed to be called your God? Four things real quick, and they might be tough, but we'll get it down. Number one, would God be ashamed to be called your God because of your faith? Hebrews 11 is all about faith. Verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice verse 2, for by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. What does that mean? That means they had a testimony in this world, and they had a testimony more importantly in heaven. Amen. And it wasn't a bad report. The Bible said that they obtained a good report, that when God, amen, listen, that don't mean they had it all nailed down. That don't mean they did right every day that they lived. But what it means is that God seen their faith, and something about their faith, God was able to say, amen, I'm not ashamed to be called the God of people that have faith like they have. Amen. Is God, would God be ashamed to be called our God tonight because of our faith? Amen. We understand according to verse 3 that He gives an illustration of the faith that we have tonight. Amen. Through faith, we believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that's just a simple illustration of that, of faith that we have. We wasn't there when all this was made, but God said in the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And just through simple faith, we believe what God said. That's the kind of faith, amen, that steps out and just believes God no matter what. That's the kind of faith God said. If a child of God will live in that kind of faith, amen, that's somebody I won't be ashamed of to be called their God. Verse number 6, I think, is where really it all comes together when the Bible said, now don't miss it now, amen, for without faith it is impossible to what? To please God. You can't please God. God, amen, God is not going to be able to say, I'm not ashamed to be called your God, if you don't live a life that's lived by faith. Over and over in Hebrews 11, you know this, it's simple, but over and over He brings up, amen, a character in the Old Testament, an individual, amen, and He said, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, through faith Sarah, and over and over and over, He's magnified the fact that these men and women, amen, God was not ashamed to be called their God because of the faith they exercised. We live in a faithless generation. We live in a generation that needs the rebuke the Lord gave the disciples in His earthly ministry when they was fretting and worried about, amen, what was going to happen and how that they were going to perish in the sea in the storm time. And He rose and rebuked the wind and settled the storm. And He looked at them and He said, oh, faithless generation. Amen. He said, your problem is, amen, you got a faith problem. I can't be pleased with you right now because of your faith. Amen. Are y'all in the building now? Would God be ashamed to be called my God because of my faith? Look at verse number 6. I see the decision of faith. The Bible said, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Amen. I feel like somebody's praying for me. I'm feeling better about preaching now. Amen. It's sad it took 30 minutes, but amen, keep on praying, okay? Amen. Notice what He said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God. He didn't say he that was drugged to God against his own will. He didn't say he that was handcuffed and tied up and gagged and brought against his own choice and own decision. No, you see, faith involves a decision. And I say tonight, that's what Joshua had in mind in the end of his ministry when he looked out and he said, you need to make up your mind. Amen. Who you gonna serve? He said, it's already been determined for me, and it's been determined for my wife, and it's been determined for my children. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Faith involves a decision. He that cometh to God, that involves the decision of faith. And I say that decision, thank God, amen, in my life was made 18 and a half years ago as a 17-year-old preacher's kid on my way to hell. Thank God the Holy Ghost came back. Amen. He didn't drag me, but He wooed me. Amen. He didn't force me, but He made me want to come. Amen. By how He moved in my life. And thank God, September 14, 1997, Brother Martin, the decision of faith was made, and I came to God on the grounds of faith.
Now see, that's the kind of faith that allows God to be able to say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I'm afraid we got a lot of folks sitting in our churches. They ain't ever exercised the decision for saving faith. Amen. They're living a lie. They're living in hypocrisy. They're living a life trying to call Him their God. And God has said, amen, you've never even made the decision of faith that you'd be saved by the grace of God. I say tonight, you can live in religion all you want to live. I ain't going to get through this. I wasn't planning on this being a series, but it's about ready to turn that way, or either we're going to preach for 3 hours tonight. But Charlie, amen, there's a lot of folks trying to live a life. They're trying to live a certain way that they could say and tell everybody that the Lord is their God. Can I say the way you get in on that, amen, is a faith that has made the decision, I am going to come to God and let Him change my life. You know what really made the difference in Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah? And Isaac and Jacob, somewhere along the way, amen, God got their attention, and by faith they made a decision to come to God. Amen. Amen. That old crowd over in Matthew 7, they're going to stand before the Lord on judgment day, and they're getting ready to be cast into everlasting judgment in the lake of fire. And they're going to say, well, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Didn't we do this and that and many mighty wonderful works? And the Lord's going to look at them and say, hey, man, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because they had never exercised the decision of faith to come to God, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I made the decision one day. And amen, don't come up to me after. I know salvation's more than a decision. Amen, it's about being born again, but you ain't going to get saved without making a decision. You got to come to God, and the way you come to God, according to Hebrews 11:6, you got to come to God by faith. Amen. And even in that statement, that is a decision that involves, amen, the decision of faith also involves repentance. Coming to God means you turn your back on yourself. Yeah, man, we got a lot of folk ain't ever repented. They've never exercised biblical saving faith that demands repentance, and they're living a life. They're living a life where they're calling Him their God, and God is ashamed of that kind of faith. God, would God be ashamed to be called our God because of our faith, the decision of faith? But notice the declaration of faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that He is. You say, what's that mean? Believe He's what? Believe He's everything He said He was. Believe He's everything the King James Bible declares Him to be. It means He's the Creator. That means tonight, amen, that He's Jehovah. He's Elohim. Amen. He's Lord God of glory. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen. He's the Savior of mankind. He's the advocate for our sin. He's the Alpha Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last. He's everything that He said He is. Say, how can you say that? You say it through the declaration of faith. In the modern day evangelism, I might as well just say it, those sword of the Lord, knock on your door, 1, 2, 3, ABC. All right, abracadabra, and you're on your way to heaven. Mentality of evangelism. And just let me say right here, that's out of the pits of hell. Amen. Salvation, biblical salvation, and the exercise of biblical saving faith, amen, moves you to declare that God is everything the Bible says He is. Say, I declared Him to be my Savior, and that's all I'm going at. And this modern day said you declare Him to be Savior, amen, today, and then somewhere down the road you declare Him to be Lord, and then somewhere down the road no, when you get saved, you just say, I'm making a declaration, He's everything. I may not understand it, I may not be able to grasp it, amen, but I'm coming to Him, and I'm coming by faith, and I am declaring that He is what He said He is. Amen. That's not heresy. Amen. I had an old deacon. He probably ain't even born again. Probably ain't even saved. In my first church, he come to me. Amen. As I was leaving my first ministry, and he began to argue and say, well, you preach lordship. You believe, and a man's got to acknowledge Christ as Lord when he gets saved. You better believe I believe that. You can't deny Him as Lord and receive Him as Savior and think you're going to be, amen, accepted of God. I'm not saying you make Him Lord. You ain't going to make Him something that He already is. The debate ain't tonight, did I make Him Lord? The debate tonight is that faith, amen, saving faith. Faith, and God looks down and says, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. It's a faith that makes a declaration that God is what the Bible says He is. If you hear Jesus is Lord, and you fight against that, and you deny that, and you make excuses for people why they live the way they live, and do the things they do, and just say, well, you know, they're really saved, they just ain't made Jesus Lord of their life yet. And I say tonight, that is an anti-gospel. That's an anti-message, and people that fall under that, you mark it down, their faith does not move God to say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. How am I doing right here? I feel like I'm doing okay. Amen. Bunch of smoke your pop your prescription pills. Yes, sir. Amen. Drink your beer and claim God's your God. Amen. That ain't the kind of salvation. That ain't the kind of faith. And God looks down and says, Yeah, I'm not ashamed to be called. I believe God's ashamed when that crowd says that He's their God. Because they ain't. Amen. He ain't their God. They can claim it all day. Amen. And there's shame. There's disgrace. Amen. That word ashamed, I told you one of the definitions means disfigurement. That's kind of what some of y'all do when I get in your tater patch. Get in your sin. Go to pouting and go to, amen, going to disfiguring your face and your body and your arms and getting all, amen, twisted. Amen, God said, amen, that crowd that had declared that I am going to say I am. Amen, that crowd has exercised the faith. I am not ashamed to be called their God. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching, Brother A.L. Will you hang out about 2 hours with me? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm so glad God reached out and called me one day. Amen. You say, amen, I just ain't got faith to believe. That Bible said that He dealt to every man. He's given to every man that measure of faith they need. Amen. Thank God He came one day and what He had planted in my heart, all that preaching had heard, all the seed that had been sowed. Amen. One day it all began to line up and I was able to exercise the measure that God gave me. Amen. Faith ain't the amen. It ain't just the exercise of your will. I'm not saying that it's void of the exercise of your will. Amen. But God, salvation's of the Lord. Ain't God, He planted some faith in you. Amen. You heard some word here and you heard the word there. Amen. And God was sowing them seeds of faith. You may not have got it first time you heard it. But He began to give you the measure of faith it was going to take for that moment in time you'd bow your knee and call on Him. Amen. I'm glad He not only supplied the coal, but He supplied, amen, He supplied the decision of faith. He supplied the day. And I'm not Calvinist, y'all know that. But I'm trying to magnify something here. If we're going to have faith that God can say, I'm not ashamed of being known as His God, there must be the decision and the declaration of faith. Believe I'm right about it. Number three, notice with me the dependence of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Didn't stop there. It's not a period there. He doesn't move on to another thought. He said, and that He is the rewarder. That is, there is a confidence in them that come to God by faith that acknowledge that God is the one we're trusting. Amen. It's not so much about my faith as it is the one I put my faith in. Amen. Are you with me tonight? It ain't so much about, amen, the faith, but it's about the one that I've said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Amen. It ain't about my ability, but it's about his ability, and he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The dependence of faith. And here's where we go, getting in to our lives, not only just in salvation, but moving from that point of time in understanding. See that my life, amen, I was saved by faith. My life was changed by believing that God would do what God said He'd do if I would put my trust in Him. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. But the Bible doesn't stop there. My faith doesn't end there in that moment of time. That's why the Bible declares over and over, Old Testament and New, that there is that element of the Christian life and the children of God, that the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means that moment of time back there 18 and a half years ago, I called on God, I put my dependence in Him. Amen. Since that day, I am to live my life depending on Him for my daily needs, depending on Him through every situation of life. That's the kind of faith that's lived out in our lives that God can look down and say, I ain't ashamed to be called His God. The Bible said the Lord came to Abraham one day and he'd been telling him all this stuff. I'm going to bless you, multiply your seed, give you a son. All these years, it just ain't happened. God comes down again and tells him again, Genesis 15, and the Bible said Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham said, God, you said it. And God, I believe I can trust you. I believe. And it doesn't look like I'm going to get what you said. And it doesn't look like I'm going to hold what I want to hold. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take it to the bank. And what you said is going to come to pass. Abraham, in that moment of time, exercised a practical faith of depending on God. Now you can say what you want, but I think God begins to be ashamed to be called our God when we don't live our lives depending and trusting in Him. All our scheming and planning and leaving God out of our plans and not consulting God and what do you think? And God, I'm going to do this and trying to manipulate circumstances of our life without letting God be a part of that. Come on now. You got to believe. You believed it back there when you got saved. And God said, oh yeah, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. How many days have we lived our life? We've gone around God. We've gone around trusting God and depended on our arm of flesh. I'm guilty. Amen. You're guilty. There's things tonight. All of us are paying for tonight because of decisions we made not to trust God in different circumstances. You might as well say, man, I'm telling the right tonight. That kind of faith doesn't lead God to say, I'm ashamed to be called their God right now. We'll live a life, Brother Dean, where I'm totally dependent upon the Lord. All our belly aching. You think God don't hang His head. Amen. All the belly aching we do. All the days we whine and gripe about how bad it is. All the days, all the Sundays we come in dragging our tracks out. Y'all might as well say amen right here. Dragging our tracks out, talking about and dwelling on how bad our week's been. Come in half-heartedly, go through the motions. Amen. I believe I'm right here, Brother Billy. I believe I'm right. Amen. We live our lives. Amen. Acting like we can't trust God with what we've just been through. Amen. I want to live a life that is depending upon the Lord. That says, God, I'm going to trust you when it doesn't look like I can. I'm going to be dependent on you so you won't have to be ashamed when I tell everybody, you're my God. Amen. It's the difference between Abraham and Lot. They had that contention rise up between them. And Brother Jack, amen, old Abraham said, I think I'm just going to trust God right here. He said, come over here, little nephew. I know we got all this. I don't want this. I don't want problems in the family. And so you pick a way to go, and I'll go the other way. You know what Abraham did? Abraham put it all in God's hands. That no matter what decision Lot made, God would take care of Abraham. But what does Lot do? The Bible said Lot lift up his eyes. And he didn't lift them up high enough. He didn't lift them up to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? No, he lifted them up and looked out on the well-watered plains up there out in towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, boy, that looks good. I believe I can raise cattle down there. I believe that would be the best way for my life to go. But he never consulted and depended on God. He lived his life based on what he could say, not on what God had confirmed in his heart as his plan and will for his life. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling like I'm preaching now. I'm telling you tonight, amen, we're that crowd. The Bible said we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen, what does that mean? It means that I'm not to allow, amen, the things I see and the circumstances that are brought into my life. I'm not to allow myself to live in a way that I operate on what I see. I'm to walk and live my life, not by this, but by heart of faith, trusting God, saying, it don't matter how bad it gets, I'm going to trust God. That's the kind of faith, according to Hebrews 11, that God can say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Notice the diligence of their faith. Everybody okay now? I can't tell you now. I ain't going to preach another two more hours. I ain't real sure right here. So y'all better perk on up, amen. Take a 5-hour energy or a kickstart or something. The diligence of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God ain't pleased when we don't live a life of faith. Amen. That word please means to be completely satisfied with. Without faith, God is not completely satisfied with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of what? Them that diligently seek him. The word, the phrase there, diligently seek, it's one Greek word that literally means to search out, to investigate. It means to crave, to demand, or to worship. Amen. You know what God's saying? God's saying that kind of faith that brings pleasure to me, that makes me fully satisfied, and leads me to be able to say at Dean Price's life, I'm not ashamed to be called his God, is that faith that is lived in diligence, that constantly craves for God to be real in his life. It deals with the faith that looks beyond, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but looks beyond the world in which you and I live and the world in which we say, and it looks beyond the things in the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm not to live a life seeking after the things that are in this world, and you ain't either. I'm afraid that, amen, I'm afraid we've got it backwards. We become so carnal, we throw these phrases out. Well, I don't want to get so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. And I say that's a foolish statement. I hardly doubt you'll ever get that heavenly minded. Amen, sound to me, you think a whole lot of yourself. But I do believe the opposite's true. That we can become so earthly minded we become of no heavenly good. That's why Jesus said, amen, lay not up for yourselves treasure on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said you need to live your life, amen, craving and seeking and investigating, amen, and setting your worship on things that are in heaven. Boy, we're so in love with the world. We got such an appetite for worldly things. No wonder Paul had to write the church of Colossians and say, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We're so diligent about all the wrong things. I believe we ought to parent diligently. I believe we ought to be diligent about how we come to church and about coming to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know what's wrong with our generation? They got no diligence about coming to church. Amen. They look for reasons to stay home. Amen. You know why? You know why? And listen, I'm not talking about sickness. We've had a lot of sickness and things. I understand that. I get sick. We're all human. It just happens. But we live in a generation, man, if there's a race, they're going to go the race. Amen. If it comes down to going to church or family reunion, they're going to flip a coin. Boy, I'm running a big rabbit now. This ain't even in the notes. If it comes to a ball game or revival meeting on a Friday night, they're going to flip a coin because after all, they've done paid for the tickets. You know what your problem is? You ain't diligent in the things you need to be diligent in. Might as well say amen right there. Amen. You know why the lake was full down there today? Because people's diligently seeking the wrong things. I believe I'm right about it. Amen. You know why folk can't... Hey, no, let me put it this way. You know why folk won't come on Wednesday nights? They don't diligently seek to come. I believe we ought to live our life with some diligence. That is craving, desiring, putting our whole heart into it. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, son, it said that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They're craving, listen, they're craving, they're demanding, they're living their lives in craving an atmosphere where they can worship God. That's part of your faith. Yeah, I got faith. I tell you right now, I got big faith. Well, what kind of faith you got? Would God be ashamed to be called your God? Is there any diligence to your faith? Is there any diligently seeking Him? Live our lives. Don't half pray. When we do, we just going through the motions. I wonder how many times God says, Ledbetter, come on now. Won't you put some heart into your prayer? Amen. Go down on bending knees, say a few little 5 minutes of words, make myself feel good. Come on now, you know you do the same. How many times is God in heaven saying, I wish you'd get some diligence about you seeking me? How many times we just reach over and out of habit pick up our Bible just to do our duty? And God's saying, I really want to give you something. I really want to say something to you right now. I know you're calling me your God. I really want to be your God. We just rush in and rush out of the presence of God and atmospheres that are supposed to be spiritual and conducive to our spiritual growth. How, Brother Mark, we just take it so lackadaisical. Well, I got to get to work, preacher. I got to get this done. I got to do this. I got to do that. Hey, what about diligently seeking the Lord? Hebrews 11:6, that's part of a faith that lends God to be able to say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I believe I'm right about it. Amen. Y'all want another? How we doing?
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Hey, why do y'all look like I've been preaching 2 hours? It's been 57 minutes. Come on now. Amen. It ain't been 2 hours, Sarah. Don't look at me like that. Let me ask you something. I'm going to end here. Let me ask you tonight. When God looks at our faith, First of all, you better make sure you've made the decision to come to God and be saved and make the right declaration. Boy, you can say all day long, He's your God, but He just bows His head and He's ashamed to be called your God. Those of us that are saved, what about the way we're exercising that faith all these years later? When God looks at our faith, I wonder tonight, can He say, boy, they're struggling lately. God, listen, God, God knows our imperfections. I'm not preaching perfection tonight, but there better be a quality about our life that we live our life trusting Him, depending on Him, diligently seeking Him by faith. Amen. I don't know if y'all are tired or if you're just choking it down. But Tony, I think you're smiling under your mask there. I think you are. I hope you are. Amen. If y'all can't get this down, you sure ain't going to get the next two down. Ain't we so pitiful? Can I just share my heart with you? But we're so pitiful. We really are. Come on now, get off. Amen. Get off your little pony now. Come on down here, the rest of us. I'm going to tell you something. We're pitiful little people. American Christianity, I'm sharing my heart with you now. American Christianity, especially Southern American Christianity, we act like we're the cream of the crop, that God's so impressed with us. Most of us ain't got enough faith, to make it through tomorrow without pouting. And I'm going to tell you something, God's got a lot better than us in this room tonight. Your preacher included, they some people on the other side of the globe that got up on the Lord's Day. You talk about having to live their life of faith. They had to live their life completely trusting in God today. And when they came together, they'd still be alive at the end of the day. We act like we're the best God's got, and we let a few things not go right in our life, and man, we get the poochy lip disease. I'm just going to tell you, if we're the cream of the crop, then religion today's in worse trouble than we think. I'm not on no soapbox. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm putting myself right in there with the rest of you. But Dean, if we're the cream of the crop, just in the matter of faith. So, but preacher, you just don't understand. God does. I'm not getting on you. I'm in as bad a shape as anybody else is. There's things I've done and I've not even counted to let God have a chance to work in areas of my life and made dumb, stupid decisions. I just believe tonight God's gone. What in the world is Ledbetter doing today? He's telling everybody I'm his God, but he lives like he don't even believe I can help him. Yeah, it's us. Don't get mad at me now. I'm telling you the truth. We're pitiful. God help us tonight. Raise up out of the low Christian living we're seeing in our day, in our society, in our neck of the woods. Brother Jack, raise up back in faith. Say, yeah, I made that decision and I'm saved and I've declared Him to be all that the Bible said He is. But I live my life in faith, diligent faith and dependent faith. So God can look down and say, oh yeah, He may not have her all nailed down, but He's got faith that I can say, I'm not ashamed to be called His God. Have I made a lick of sense tonight? If it ain't helped you, somewhere about 30 minutes ago, it started helping me all over again. I want to live right. I want to have the right kind of faith. Amen. Is Candy left? Amen. Maddie, you're going to have to come play tonight. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to close our Bibles now. Now, don't be packing up to go home. Just kind of close your Bible. So we got to do business now with God. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever been saved? You've heard enough preaching that God has dealt to you the measure of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. If you was here this morning and you're lost and you walked out, I promise you, you heard enough Word of God preached this very morning to have faith enough to turn to the Lord and receive Him. Believe that. Believe that. There's enough preached in here, truth preached in here this morning to save the world. God's dealt to you the measure of faith, give you truth enough to put some faith in there. You just got to exercise it. Would you make that decision tonight, come down here, and then declare that He is everything the Bible says? We invite you to do that this evening. You need to be saved. You need to be saved by the grace of God, and not tomorrow, right now, this evening. You can turn a new leaf, you can try to do better, but that kind of life that hasn't exercised decisive faith to come to God is not going to make God be able to look at your life and say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. And then those of us that are saved, there's been enough preached here tonight. I can't imagine any of us wouldn't have to get on this altar tonight and say, Lord, You're going to have to forgive me. I'm sorry for the lack of faith I've had, the little faith I've had. Grow my faith. Help me, Lord, tonight. I don't want you to be ashamed when I call you my God. Begin to play there, Maddie. Father, please help us tonight. Lord, we're entering, Lord, this springtime. A lot of things start to come to life. A lot of reviving in nature. Father, tonight, my heart, as the pastor of this church, see some reviving of some spiritual things in our life. Father, we've said it tonight, Lord, to the congregation. We confess it tonight to You. Lord, we know how pitiful we are. We're not trying to pull no wool over Your eyes tonight. God, we try. God, we strive to some degree, and Lord, probably not enough. Father, I pray this evening, would You help us? Lord, I need help tonight. If nobody else does, Lord, I need help tonight. Lord, this evening, I know there's things I'm paying for tonight because, Lord, I didn't have that quality of faith of Hebrews 11:6 to live my life back. Lord, I pray You'd forgive me of that. Father, I ask You tonight, Lord, to help me do better. I need Your help with it. Father, I ask You this evening, Lord, to help our church. God, as we go out into our community in the days to come, and Lord, we tell everybody that You're our God. Lord, we want You to be able to say from the throne of heaven, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Help us, Lord, with our faith tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this evening. Got several on the altar tonight praying. You just mind the Lord however God spoke to you this evening. Anybody here tonight need to come be saved? We want you to come now. We want you to come. Not come to us, come to God. Step out there by faith tonight. Put your faith in the Lord. Help us.